Hello and welcome to Yomp Yarns, your Catarán Yomp podcast. The Catarán Yomp is a 54-mile walk in 24 hours. People sign up as individuals or in teams to walk the route through the Scottish Highlands, all in support of ABF the Soldiers charity. We'll be releasing podcasts recorded from live video streams in the run-up to the event in June. These will cover everything you need to prepare for taking on the Yomp, such as training, foot care, what to expect in the day, and the charity itself. So grab a cup of tea, a tonics bar, and settle in. So hi, everyone. Thank you for coming along and joining us on this Monday evening. A few housekeeping things to start with. Just so you know, this is being recorded. I'll send out the recording in the newsletter on Friday. So everybody who couldn't make it can get all the information and hopefully learn a lot about the Yomp. So for anyone who doesn't know, I'm Amy. I've been managing the Yomp for the last 12 months. What we're going to do tonight is I'm going to introduce you to a few key people, and then between us we'll talk you through what to expect, why we do some of the things we do, and hopefully have time for a Q&A at the end. So the first person I want to introduce is my colleague Viola. So you should be able to see Viola on your screen. If you can't, then just pop it in the chat and I'll make sure that, I'll try and fix it. I'll do my best. But essentially at the time of the Yomp, I will be 39 weeks pregnant. So obviously not going up to Scotland to sit on the side of a mountain for 24 hours. So V is taking over and she'll be running the Yomp next year as well. So she will hopefully become quite familiar to all of you. Do you want to say hi, V?
Yes. Hi, everyone. Nice to meet you across the screen. I'm very excited about this event and I cannot wait to meet you all in person in June. Obviously, I will be more on hand from May, but feel free to ask any questions, either Amy or myself. And on the day, please do come around and say hello in person, since you now know how I look like. So it'll be much more easier for you to come along and introduce yourself. And yes, thank you so much for supporting the Soldiers Charity and for taking part in this exciting challenge.
Thanks, V.
No worries.
And then the second person is my boss, Steve. So Steve actually started the Yomp back in 2011. I don't know if you can hear, but I have a bit of a cold and I don't think I can talk for half an hour, 45 minutes without coughing. And rather than letting you all go through that, Steve is going to talk you through the Yomp. So Steve, over to you.
Yes. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us this evening. A few of you might recognise me. It's nice to see some faces or some names appear that have been part of the Yomp for a few years. And Lee, I see you've joined as well. Lee Harris-Hamer, great to see you. I hope you're well. Lee's going to be our very, very special guest this year. He's a charity beneficiary and him and his family are actually taking on the Yomp. So yes, you'll hear more from him as we get closer to the event. Right, so the main plan today is just I'm going to talk through the route, talk through the plan, how it's going to work, what you need to be aware of, what you need to look forward to, and it's a chance really for you to ask any questions you have about the event or to really just get an insight into how it all works and how it all comes together. I've been involved in the Yomp since it very first started back in 2010. The first event was in 2011, and it's grown ever since, and this year we're going to welcome our biggest team ever. So well over 1,000 people already signed up and registration is still open. So it's going to be absolutely brilliant to be in that start field on the Friday night for registration and to meet as many of you as I can. I'll be there all weekend. You'll see me popping up at lots of different places across the route. And it really is like just the most incredible weekend. You're gonna love it. You're gonna hate it at times. But overall, you're going to have the most amazing weekend, and the most important reason, the reason we're all there and why the YOMP exists is to raise money for ABF, the Soldiers Charity. So such an important cause. It might not be front pages of the newspapers as it was 10 years ago, but the need is still there. And the Soldiers Charity line is that we're there for soldiers for life. And that means that the 17, 18-year-olds signing up now need us to be there when they're in their 90s and they might need some help. So we're not in it for the quick run. It's a long-term plan. And I think the YOMP really epitomises that. It's about endurance and resilience and being there for the long run. And I think your fundraising genuinely does make a difference in people's lives. So thank you all for signing up and good luck with all the fundraising. And I hope it all goes well. So, right, to the YOMP itself. So you should have already received your participant pack and support team guide. They've been linked on Facebook. They've been sent out in the newsletters. The last newsletter was sent out on Friday. So if you find your newsletter from Friday, you should find it in there. That gives you a real step-by-step guide through the entire event. Still to come is your map pack, which will give you every twist and turn of the 54-mile route and your participant number, which you'll receive ahead of the event. So how it's going to work across the weekend? Well, everyone arrives on the Friday. So the plan for the Friday night is that that's when everybody registers for the event. And we have to make sure that you have your timing chip. So you get your timing chip, which is attached to your wrist. So the timing chip is the way that we monitor where you are out across the course. This is not a town centre. It really is actually incredibly remote in some places. And us knowing where you are is a very important part of your safety. Our priority is to make sure that you start the event and you finish the event and that you have the best time possible. Safety is our number one priority. And therefore, all of the information we're giving you is first and foremost to make sure you're safe. And then secondly, that you have the best time possible. So arrive on the Friday. You get your registration numbers, you get your timing chip, which gets attached to your wrist. There's a chance to ask any questions. We get you double check your support team details, medical information, and then there's the safety briefing. So the safety briefing is very dependent on the conditions across the weeks leading up to and the forecast for the weekend. Whatever the weather, there are things to be aware of. So it's really important that you're there to listen to the event directors, to listen to the doctors, to make sure that you are prepared mentally and physically for what's coming ahead. 54 miles across the Scottish Highlands is no small undertaking. Historically, we have about a 60% completion rate. So that means that 40% of people that intend to walk the Gold do not get to Gold. The fact that you're here today listening to this, that you're preparing properly, is going to be what gets you to that Gold finish line. 54 miles is a double marathon. And unlike the London Marathon this weekend, it's not flat. Actually, the downhill is often as challenging as the uphill. So preparing yourself both mentally and physically is going to be key to success. Right, so one thing that we are going to ask is that you put your race numbers on your front. And the idea there is twofold. First of all, your race number is how we identify you. So it's very key. There's a medical information on the back, which we ask you to fill out if you do have any medical information, so that we don't have to refer back to your registration forms. It's literally on your body if there's an issue. And the other thing is that we've got lots of photographers out on the route. If they can see your race number, we know who you are and we can link you to your photos. So do put your race numbers on the front of your t-shirts. We're hoping it's going to be lovely, dry, sunny weather and beautifully hard underfoot. But of course, hot weather is as difficult sometimes as cold weather to deal with, especially for those of us that perhaps aren't as good in the heat as we are in some normal Scottish conditions. So be there for the safety briefing, get those last minute top tips from our safety crew. It's really important to make sure you're there. That night, there's a brilliant pasta party. There's a bar, there'll be music playing. It's just the most brilliant atmosphere. Everyone's really excited for the day ahead. So yes, make sure you've bought your pasta party tickets. You're there in good time. You get registered, get your goodie bag, get your event t-shirt, get your timing chip. That's Friday. Right, Saturday morning is an early start. So breakfast is being served from 5 a.m. The food across the whole event is absolutely second to none. You will not leave the Yomp any lighter than you started, despite the thousands of calories you'll end up burning. There are amazing water stops and checkpoints, but at the event hub, we've got a fantastic breakfast, lots of variety, lots of different options to really kind of set you off on the right foot. The start line is in waves. So each group is broken. Basically, we split all of you into waves and you each start in between 10 and 15 minute intervals, depending on the weather. Starting in the wave that you're allocated is actually really important. The reason we have the waves is because actually the route is not designed for 1,000 people to start all at once. There's not big, wide roads to take that number of people. These are narrow country lanes. There are stiles. If people don't start in their waves, you think you're getting ahead, you think you're saving time, you're not. You're literally just going to be standing in a queue for a stile for those 10 or 15 minutes you should have been at the start line for. So we manage the start quite carefully to make sure that you can keep moving out on the route. So the idea is that you'll get a participant number and you'll get a start time. The aim is to have absolutely everybody out on the route within an hour and a half. So the first start is going to be at 6 o'clock, and then we'll do waves every 10 to 15 minutes until everyone is out on the course. We ask the runners to start last. I know this seems counterintuitive, but 54 miles and managing all of the checkpoints and the rest stops is incredibly demanding from a staffing and a medical point of view. The reason we hold the runners back later is because they go around the course much faster. And if we set you off at the beginning, we'd need to open the checkpoints 2 or 3 hours ahead of time just to make sure you were safe and that there would still be people staggering on doing 15, 18 hour shifts to keep the checkpoints going. The idea is that it's a yomp, it's a walk. We know you want to finish it as quickly as you can. And if you are intending on running, please do let us know. And we'll just start you a little bit later. You'll have a much better event experience by doing that. So going out around the route, you leave the event hub. There's a little uphill to get you going. Get the heart rate up, prepare you for what's ahead. Essentially, across the route, we have a number of water stops. In fact, we have 7 water stops and we have a number of main checkpoints. So what to expect at a water stop? A water stop is somewhere where you grab and go. What you need to do at a water stop is there'll be hot drinks, there'll be soft drinks, there'll be snacks, there'll be fruit, there'll be sweets. They're never going to be more than 10 miles from the last stop. In fact, often they're 5 or 6 miles from the last stop. The idea is that you get into that point, you know, take water stop one. You've had a decent breakfast. You arrive at water stop one. Perhaps a cup of tea or a cup of coffee to get you going, a banana, and a couple of jelly babies just to help you nip to the loo. There'll be some toilets there. Crack on. Don't hang around at the water stops. Water stops are a place to refuel and get going again. Every time you stop, it's harder and harder to get going again. The way to get around the yomp is steady, steady, steady. Take it easy. Don't go too quickly, but keep going. The old adage of stop once, stop twice is actually true. As soon as you stop once, you'll end up stopping two or three times. And it's amazing how much time can just slip away as you faff about. One of the key things at water stops is if you do have an issue, if you've got a hot spot, if you've got something that's rubbing, if there's some sort of niggle, sort it out quickly. There'll be a few little chairs there. You'll have your pack with all of your kit in it. If you need to change a top, if you need to change a pair of socks, really try and do it very quickly. The other thing is to keep your water bottle full. The idea is that by the time you get to a checkpoint, or a water stop, sorry, especially on a very hot day, your water bottle should be empty or on the way to being empty. It's a chance to fill it up again so that you can keep hydrated through the whole event. Right, that's water stop one. We've got a couple of amazing volunteers that have volunteered at water stop one, I think pretty much since the start. It's a really, really high energy water stop. Everyone is in great spirits. It's a wonderful place in the woods near the Bridge of Cali. And yeah, it's a lovely stop. Right, so you leave water stop one, then you're on your way to checkpoint one. So checkpoint one is at Kirkmichael. Checkpoint one is already a half marathon distance. This is the thing about the yomp that people don't really appreciate. They sign up to do it. It's a 54-mile walk. I'm sure I can do that. No problem. Checkpoint one is a half marathon. Checkpoint two is roughly a marathon. Checkpoint three is longer than any ultramarathon. So an ultramarathon is anything over 26 miles. It tends to be around 30. Checkpoint three, silver, is at 36 miles. So it's an ultramarathon distance. There's still 18 miles to go to the finish. So prepare yourself for that. Don't head off too fast. Pace yourselves. So you're heading towards checkpoint one. Checkpoint one is in Kirkmichael, and honestly, it's just such a beautiful little village. There's a river running through there. We're in this beautiful banner field. All the tents are set up. Really, really lovely feel. There's a chance there for sandwiches and smoothies, delicious food. There'll be some medical teams there if there's something you need to just get checked out. There'll be a chance to meet your support crews for the first time. So the support crews are having a lovely day by this point. They've left you to get on with the start and they've driven to Kirkmichael. They're enjoying the beautiful sunshine of the Scottish Highlands, and they'll be there waiting for you. And your support team are really crucial to you completing the event. The idea there is that they meet you, they've got your favourite snacks. We feed you, we've got everything you could possibly want food-wise, but we don't have that specific item that you absolutely crave as you do these events. So make sure your support crew have your favourite snacks. They have a couple of chairs for you to put your feet up. They're carrying some 10 pairs of spare socks and a change of tops and all those things that just make those little differences that help you complete the event. Again, the point at checkpoints is that they're there for a refuel and then going. Do not stop too long at the checkpoints. It's amazing how 45 minutes, an hour and a half can just slide by as, and I'm guilty as this as anybody, start faffing around with, oh, I just need to do this one thing. Oh, I just need to do this one thing. The whole point here of the team and staying together is that you arrive at the checkpoint together, your support crew are there ready, chairs laid out, socks ready to go, you grab some food, you fill up your water bottle, you have a sit down, you change your socks, make sure there's no blisters, you go to the loo, you get ready and that you get going. The classic thing that happens every single time is that the team There's five of you in a team, four of you are already to go, and then someone needs to go to the loo. And you're stood there for another 5 minutes waiting for everybody. So be aware of your team, be aware of your surroundings, and just try and get in and out as quickly as possible. All right, then you head up the hill. So we go up towards the incredible Enoch Doom. It is up. It's not a Munro, it's not a mountain, but it's up, and it will get the heart rate up. One thing to be aware of is that at the bottom of the hill, you go through a car park. There are toilets in that car park. There are no toilets after that point until you get to Glenshee. So use those toilets. Top tip. Head up the hill. There's a little treat for you halfway up the hill just to keep you going. And you head up to the amazing lunch hut, which is Waterstop 2. So this is one of the most beautiful parts of the route. You are at least an hour away from the main road. So you are in a very remote part of Perthshire. The views over the valleys are just phenomenal. Like, honestly, they're one of my favorite places. And you get to that water stop and it's a sight for sore eyes. So again, it's the same drill at the water stop. Quick in, quick out. Fill up your water bottle, grab some snacks, catch your breath, get going again. A little climb after that before the big downhill into Glenshee. So the route into Glenshee, which is the bronze finish, checkpoint 2, is again just absolutely phenomenal. You're coming down and you start to see the checkpoint in the distance, and it's surrounded by mountains, and you go all the way down into the valley. There's a beautiful river running by it. It is absolutely just the perfect Scottish scene. And Famous Grouse are our event partners and now sponsors for the bronze finish. And they put on a fantastic show. So we have a huge Famous Grouse tent. There's a wee nip to warm you up a little bit if it's chilly. And there's an amazing Scottish feast. There's neeps and tatties there. There's music playing. There's massage available. There's going to be it's a fantastic, fantastic stop. And a real highlight of the route for a lot of people. You've been in the middle of nowhere for a while and you come down into this incredible village of colour and light and music and excitement. It's fantastic. Yeah, a brilliant stop. For those completing bronze, amazing. You've got to the bronze finish line. It's normally early to mid-afternoon. There's a chance to rest and recuperate. Your support teams will be there again at that checkpoint. You've completed bronze. 22 miles is no small endeavor. There's a lot of events out there. That's essentially the event. That's it. You're done, finished. And you haven't gone over the same sorts of hills as we have already. But for those carrying on, and I know most of you will want to, you're not even halfway yet. Sorry to break it to you. So the idea here is, again, to get in, to get sorted, and to get out. There's a cutoff at this point. So we have a number of cutoffs across the route, and this is really the first one that's important. So the cutoff here is 7 p.m. If you do not leave bronze before 7 p.m., you will not be able to continue on the event. For 99.5% of people, this is no problem at all. Like I say, they're early afternoon to mid-afternoon, but we do have that cutoff in place, so one to be aware of. Right, when you leave Glenshee, you really head out into the wilds. So we head out of Glenshee and we head across into what has become known as Beeny. Loch Beeny, we skirt around the edge of Loch Beeny. You are in the middle of mountains all around you. And all of these mountains funnel water down into Loch Beeny. So that is the point that you may have heard of on the Facebook group or in chat from people that have done it before, where if it has been wet before, it will definitely be wet in Beni. And that's quite a marshy, boggy area. This isn't some beautiful new forest track that people follow. You are in the wilds of Scotland here. So getting the right footwear, getting the right ankle support, wearing the right kit is going to be really key in this area here. Again, this is a fantastic part of the route. And for everyone complaining about Beni Bog, I think it's also a highlight for a lot of people to conquer it. And as you come out of Beni Bog, you reach Waterstop 3, which is a very, very welcome relief for a lot of people. A really nice stop, actually, there. There's hot chocolates available. There's a whole cheese bar set up, which has got like lots of savoury things. It makes a big difference, actually, because often you eat a lot of sweet things as you go. So just some nice savoury food makes a really big difference. So, yeah, it's a regular water stop. So get in, get sorted, get out, get going. You head out through the forest, or out of Beni and into the forest around Uckentopple. And this is where you'll see a lot of the photos. In fact, I think my background's Uckentopple. Most people are getting here about early evening. So the sun is setting behind the mountains. You've been out on the hills all day. And this is where we have our gin bothy. The idea here is that we've got this beautiful fishing hut right by the side of Uckentopple Lock. And here we have our next water stop. So previously we had the gin bothy and the water stop about half a mile apart. We've combined those into one location now. So the idea is that this is a place, and probably one of the most picturesque parts of Scotland, for you to just take a moment as the sun is going down to have a wee nip of gin just to keep you going, and just have a pause before night sets in and we really grit our teeth and get going for the evening. As you leave the gin bothy, we head up round back up onto the hills, and that's where we get to the silver finish. So this is Glen Isla, an amazing site, in a big farm, James Ivory's farm, who's been a brilliant supporter of us, and they are wonderful and they host us fantastically. We have, again, all of the checkpoints are very similar, lots of big tents set up, proper food. So the idea here is that it's very much around a sort of evening chill out vibe is probably the best way of describing it. The idea is that you get in there, you rest, you recover, there's some delicious chili, there's going to be pizza, there's going to be lots of food available. It's a real chance to sort of chill before you kind of get yourself up again and get ready to go ahead of the night shift. So the idea, and what I've always believed, is to try and get into Glen Isla before it gets dark. Trying to get in and out of Glen Isla before it's pitch black makes a huge difference to your morale. If you're stopping at Silver, again, amazing job. You've completed longer than a standard ultra marathon, which is an amazing achievement. Silver medal is not to be underestimated. To achieve a silver is a brilliant, brilliant achievement. But if you're ready to go on to gold, this is the point where you really need to grit your teeth. So, standard procedures at a checkpoint. Your support crew are there. Make sure you get that change of socks, you get that change of kit. Anything rubbing, you sort out. Any hot spots on your feet, you get, nip them in the bud. Tape it, change your socks, change your shoes if you need to. All of this kit can be carried in your team support crew. So yeah, pack a couple of pairs of shoes if you've got them and grab them out of the support crew vehicle and change your shoes if you need to. Right, so you head out of Glen Isla. And we head towards the Aileth Hills. So this section is, for a lot of people, where it starts to get dark. So this is where head torches are essential. And we attach call them psylums, you know, the snap sticks that light up. We attach those to you. So if you're anywhere near a road, if you're anywhere near, if we need to find you, it's easier to find you because you're lit up. Please do turn your head torch on sooner rather than later. And if you can, practice walking before the event in the night. It's a very, very different experience walking and with a head torch across the country, watching out for roots that go across the ground, potholes that are there. It really does slow people down. Be aware of that. The more you practice walking at night, the easier it's going to be when it happens on the event itself. So you head out across the Aelith Hills and we get to Water Stop 5, which is Kilry, which is a very, very welcome site for a lot of people. Again, toilets there, chance to fill up your water bottle, get a hot drink if it's chilly, get a few extra snacks, get going again. This is where the team makes such a difference. If you train together as a team, if you work together as a team, this is where it will really count. People will have ups and downs at different points across the route, but it's amazing how in a group environment, those ups and downs tend not to coincide. They tend to alternate. So when one person is up, they can lift the other one, and the other person goes up, they can lift the other one. And that makes such a difference on such an arduous event. Right. We've done Water Stop 5, and now you're heading towards Water Stop 6. So Water Stop 6 is a little bit of a hybrid stop. We've really reinforced this stop to make sure, because this is at 42 miles in. It's incredibly, it's often the middle of the night. It's pitch black. You're in a valley. There's no light. There's no phone signal. There's nothing. And then this checkpoint appears in the middle of nowhere. And it serves this delicious mac and cheese, which is honestly just amazing at that point. All about the crispy bacon bits. And that really is just a really tasty, savory boost of energy, of, you know, carbohydrates rather than sugars to get you through that last half marathon. Still 12 miles to go at that point, but this is where you really need to grit your teeth and get going. Get in and get out of Water Stop 6. And then it really is mind over matter from Water Stop 6. From Water Stop 6 onwards, those 12 miles, there's going to be lows. But you know that that finish line is getting closer with every single step. Those 12 miles will feel like 20 miles. And you will walk slower. Be aware of that. Be mentally prepared for that. Be mentally prepared to be walking for 2 hours and realize you've only done 4 miles. Your average speed of 3.5 miles an hour will slow down over the course of the event. So prepare yourself mentally for that. You get to Water Stop 7. This is at the point where it really is that final boost. Grab some extra sweets, grab some extra bits of chocolate to just give you that last little boost to get you back to the finish line. And then you come back round, back into Blairgowrie, back to the incredible event hub fields and to the finish line. And I really can't describe that feeling at the finish line of having walked 54 miles and hopefully within 24 hours. And the idea becomes a reality. For a lot of people, this will be one of the toughest physical things you'll ever do. And the emotion at the finish line is really amazing. You start together as a team, you spend the whole day together, you have your ups and your downs, and you finish together as a team, and you've got there together, and that really is an amazing achievement. The finish line is just a really great place to be. In future years, when you've completed the Yomp 15 times and you want to do something else, do just come along and volunteer at the finish line, because, yeah, there's medals, there's champagne, there's a beer if you want it, there's soft drinks, there's medics, there's a massage at the finish line that makes all the difference. And of course, then there's a finish line meal as well. So whether you finish at 7 p.m. that evening and you get a night's sleep in the event hub and you wake up for breakfast the next morning, or whether you come in at 7 p.m. that next morning, we're going to be there and that welcome is going to be amazing. And we can't wait to see you at the finish line. So a couple of things to be aware of is that if for any reason you do have to stop at any point, do make sure that you hand in your tracker. It's absolutely key. So if you stop at a water stop or a checkpoint, make sure you speak to a member of staff and you hand in your dibber. Like I say, your safety is absolutely key to the whole event. So your tracker is how we know where you are and that you're safe. So if you stop, hand in your tracker. If it's not handed in, we will go looking for you. So, and it has happened before, we've run people and they've been halfway to Edinburgh in their support car. And we've put people out onto the hills to try and find you, which puts our team at risk. So make sure you do hand in your dibber. And you will be given emergency numbers. They're in the participant pack. They'll be on the back of your race number. Put them into your phone before the event. So make sure you've got the emergency numbers in case anything happens. The more you prepare, the better prepared you'll be, obviously. But the idea is that things can happen to anybody at any time. The fittest person can put their foot into a rabbit hole and hurt their ankle and not be able to walk. So however prepared you feel you are and however confident you are, do just make sure you're aware of, you have those telephone numbers in your phone ready if you need them, your team have them, and that you read all of the information before the event in your participant pack. Right, that was the half an hour, I think, that I was told to speak for, and hopefully I've brought the event to life to you and talked you through it. If there's anything, oh, I might have missed the cutoff time at Silver. Yeah, thank you for pointing that out. The cutoff time at Silver is 1 a.m. So you need to leave Silver by 1 a.m. And again, that only really applies to the 0.5% of people. And the reality is we're stopping. The Yomp is going to be here in 2024 and in 2025 and in 2026. Don't break yourself so much this year that you can't come back and finish it. If you're really struggling, claim that silver medal. It's a brilliant, brilliant achievement. It's an ultra marathon. You know, there's lots of these long distance walking events out there, but none quite as tough as the Yomp. And the idea is that you come back again and you get that gold medal if you're not able to do it the first year round. There's also one other cutoff just to be aware of. At Waterstop 6, we do have a cutoff at 6 a.m. Again, just to be aware of, there's still 12 miles to go. The challenge is to complete the 54 miles in 24 hours. We don't close the finish line after 24 hours. We want to make sure that you get as far as you can possibly get, but there is a cutoff at 6 a.m. at Waterstop 6. Amy, anything else I've missed?
No, that was great, Steve. Thank you. Okay. I'm not sure anyone else could have talked through a route in such detail.
I've got no notes or anything. That was all in my head.
So what we'll do is I will now introduce you to a few key people, and then we'll have time for about 15 minutes worth of questions and answers at the end. If you have anything to ask, then pop it in the chat box now and we'll get around to it. So first of all, there will be quite a few different photographers and videographers on the route. So there are a couple there. So there will be two event photographers. You probably won't see them. You probably won't interact with them. They're here to take photos for the charity so we can use them to market the event next year, essentially. And they're essentially creating a story of the Yomp. They don't want you to wave at them. They don't want you to smile at them. So unless you're specifically told to, just completely ignore them and they'll appreciate you all the more for it. There are a couple of photographers around the route who will encourage you to wave and smile and engage with them. They're from a company called My Bib Number, and they are there to capture the event for you. So Steve mentioned that we ask you to wear your participant number on the front, on your front. That's how they'll identify you, essentially. So there'll be a gallery that's put up a few days after the event, and you'll be able to search using your participant number for all the pictures that these wonderful people took of you. They basically camp out on the mountain for 12 plus hours at some points, and they do it all with a smile on their face, and it's great to have them on board. The other person I wanted to introduce you to is Claire Kinnard. Claire, if you want to pop your camera on, say hi.
Hi.
So Claire is our, she manages our social media for the YOMP. And so you'll see her around the route, just popping up, capturing content for next year. And you may even see yourself featured on social media this year. Do you want to introduce yourself quickly, Claire?
Yeah. So like Amy said, I'm Claire. I have quite a background in media, so I'm quite excited to take on the YOMP. This is my first year being involved in it. And I love the outdoors as well, so I think it's like the perfect event for me to get involved in. So basically, I'm going to be popping out around the route over the whole course, the whole period of the day, and just capturing different bits at different places. Putting stories up onto social media, but also capturing content that might not go out instantly. It might be held and put out in the following days. Sorry, my dog's been so quiet and now he's just started to whine at me for no reason at all, purely because I'm speaking. So some of the content might not be up immediately. A lot of it will be, but a lot of it will be held as well, so that we can put it towards building up towards next year's content as well.
Thanks, Claire. And the next person is Claire Granger. So there's lots of Claires in this event. Claire Granger manages our PR and has done a great job this year already. And she'll be around the event again, trying to speak to as many of you as possible, to capture as many stories as possible. So Claire, over to you.
Yeah, hi everyone. I am the other Claire. So as Amy said, it's basically been my job to promote the YOMP on the run up to drive more sign-ups and donations and so on. But I'll also be there at the event, as Amy said. So I will I'm essentially a bit like Claire. I'm interested in why you're doing the YOMP. It's the human interest aspect for both of us. And in terms of how we do that, I'll be there on the Friday night at the event hub, and then I'll be at Bronze on the Saturday afternoon. And then eventually I'll come back to the hub and hopefully meet some of the YOMPers finishing the crossing line. So I will look forward to talking with as many of you as possible.
Thanks, Claire. And then the last person I promised is Andrew Hastings. Andy, if you want to pop on camera.
I'm unmuting. Oh, hang on.
You're unmuted. I just need you to turn your camera on.
I'm on.
There we go. So Andy is Mr. YOMP. He's been involved in the YOMP for as long as Steve has.
And I think after Steve's effort tonight, Steve gets the title of Mr. YOMP. That was impressive.
That was very impressive.
I don't think you missed a single thing.
Nothing happens at the YOMP without Andy say so. Nothing happens without him finding out about it.
That's true.
And he is basically in charge of all the logistics on the day and does a fantastic job. Do you want to just say hi, Andy?
Yeah, it's just very quick. It's been a long 45 minutes, so I'll be quick. Yeah, just wanted to say hello. As Steve pointed out, there is a huge team that's worked pretty much an entire year to deliver the YOMP. We've got about 120 staff and volunteers working on the event. And we're all there to get you safely to your destination and home with sore feet. So, Amy and Steve and the team are amazing. So the secret is prepare for it and ask questions. If you got any questions, don't turn up on the day and think, I should have asked that a month ago. There's lots of answers, lots of knowledge here. So there is no such thing as a daft question. So anyway, over to you, Amy. Thanks.
Thanks, Andy. Great, so on to the Q&A. So there's been a couple of questions sent in already. If you have anything that you still want answered, then pop it in the chat now. So first of all, we've got Edward Young, who has said, I've been training in Altberg hiking boots. They're pretty heavy duty, but great for my feet and general miles. I did the Jurassic Challenge in lightweight Aku seals and blistered my toes. Should I be looking at doing the Yomp in my thoroughly broken in boots or lightweight shoes? So we asked one of the pod squad about this, and Gillian from the pod squad responded with, go what you know. If the heavy duty, well worn in, no blister creating footwear works, then don't waste money at this late stage trying something new. So Edward, I hope that answers your question. Then we have Mick, who says, I was signed up as a solo walker, but I have been invited to join a team. How do I do this? Can my support team still act as my support, or do I need to use a team support crew? So two parts to that question, Mick. If you want to join a team, then you just need to email yomp@soldierscharity.org and let me know and I'll do that. I would much rather you did that sooner rather than later, because in the next few weeks I'll be emailing everybody who has signed up as a solo walker or who has signed up as a team of two to pair them up with others. And regarding the last part of your question, if you had signed up as a solo walker and had your own support team but then joined a team, we would probably still most likely provide meals for your support team as well, so you can still have a familiar face, someone who knows you. But this is done on a case-by-case basis, so do again email yomp@soldierscharity.org. And then Kerry has asked, what if your team members decide to stop at bronze or silver and you've only got one or two of you left trying to complete the gold? Can you continue with less than three people in your team? So after bronze, we need you to be in a team of three or more at all times. This is a safety thing. At the kit check at bronze, you won't be able to continue as a pair or as a solo walker. You can pair yourselves up with others leaving at the same time. We'll help you do that if you want. Just let us know.
Just to kind of add to that, it is a really social event. We encourage you to talk to other people, to fall into step, and you'll meet people from all different backgrounds and reasons for doing the Yomp. So actually a big part of the joy of the Yomp is meeting other people and walking with them for a while. So we won't let you leave checkpoints by yourself or in pairs. You will have to be in bigger groups than that, three or more. But actually, we've found over the years that people that have met on the Yomp walking or taking part then become genuinely firm friends and sign up and come back and do the Yomp as a team each year. And that's been brilliant to see. So, yes, there's a lot of people starting the Yomp, but across 54 miles, there may be points where you find yourself isolated or away from other people. Do try and link up with two other people if you're out on the hills. People are very friendly, fall into step, talk about why they're doing the event and stick together, because that camaraderie really makes the difference across the event weekend.
Thanks, Steve. So moving on, so Gordon has asked, are teams stopped at the checkpoints, have personal kit checked, and do we report into a tent to swipe the tracker? So there is one kit check at bronze where you have to have everything that's on the kit list, and in a team you have to have at least one of everything on the team kit list. This is in the participant pack, so go have a look. And if you have any questions, let us know. And then every time you come into a checkpoint or water stop, you will have, there'll be a little machine that you can dib your tracking chip in, and that will register that where you are when you got there and give us an idea of where you are roughly on the route. I hope that answers your question, Gordon. And then Stephen has asked, what about all the trees that are down over the path, about kilometres from Rattray. So this was an issue last year as well, and we've actually diverted the route, so we avoid that section. We'd hoped to go back to the original route through Drimmy Woods this year, but unfortunately not. Hopefully next year. And then Lee has asked, what happens if you find yourself on your own? As I know you have to be in a team that's a minimum of three. So as Steve said, it's a very sociable event. Fall into step with somebody else, with another team. It's for your own safety. So even if you don't talk to them the whole way around, make sure that they know you're there, that they're looking out for you. And the same, if you see a Yompa on their own or as a group of two, then please stop, check in, kind of gather them up as part of your team, and everyone will be a little bit safer. Then Andy has asked, are you providing a GPX file for the route? So we will send out a GPX file. So you can have a look at I know a lot of you like to know about the elevation and exact distances and things like that. Bear in mind that a lot of the route is very remote and has very little signal. So it may not always give you the most reliable course. So if it's a choice between following the GPX and following the signs that we put up, always pick the signs that we put up. And then, so Adrian has asked, will there be anyone at start to tape your feet if required? Yes, there will be. We'll talk a bit more about that closer to the event in the newsletters, but don't worry, the pod squad will be there this year to look after all of you.
But just to add to that point as well, Amy, if that's okay. They're amazing and they are brilliant, but I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to care for your own feet. You know what works better than anyone else. There's lots of tips and guides. The more you go out on training walks, the more you know where the hotspots are going to be. They're not going to know your feet like you know your feet. So go out on your training walks, learn where your hotspots are, learn where the issues are with your feet, and learn how to tape it yourself. Genuinely, it will make a much, much bigger difference than having even a highly trained professional come and just put some tape on in the standard places. Feet tend not to be that standard. So you know your feet better than anyone else. So try and take as much responsibility for yourself as you can.
Thanks, Steve. So Stephen has then asked, is there a limit on the max members in a team? No, there isn't. Recruit as many people as you like. The more the merrier. John has asked, when will the route for the Yomp be issued? So we're working on the map pack now, and we'll send it out with the GPX next Friday. What I would recommend is don't make copies of it. So always refer back to the kind of official one that we send out, because we may change it a little close to the event, depending on, you know, the ground surface, the dreaded tree fall, etc. Then last two questions. So Adam has asked, one of our support team is vegan. Do you have vegan options? They've specifically asked about the Friday night feast. But yes, all across the route, we have vegan options. We can cover most dietary requirements. We don't cater for individual dietary requirements, but we will do general vegan, vegetarian, etc. I hope that answers your question. And then last question from Edward again. How bad are the midges at this time of year? It's very subjective depending on the weather. I personally I've never been bitten by midges there, but a lot of my colleagues come back from some of the water stops cursing them, essentially. So our advice is to prepare for there to be midges. Come along with repellent, come along with nets that go over your head, because once you've been bitten, there's nothing worse than having to walk another 30 miles with an insect bite annoying you. Great, that seems to be it. Steve, anything you'd like to add?
No, just to kind of reiterate what I was saying earlier around you're all taking on this amazing thing. You're going to have a brilliant, brilliant weekend. But the reason we're all there is to raise money to support soldiers, veterans and their families. So share your fundraising page, tell people what you're doing, encourage donations. We know it's very, very challenging out there at the moment. It's very, very challenging for the veteran community as well. And the money you raise and the support that you're providing genuinely does change lives. So share your page, talk to your friends and family about the YOMP, do that final extra push because it really does make a difference.
Thanks, Steve. And just a final point for me, the YOMP team is here. This isn't your only chance to ask questions. We're here on email, on the phone, on Facebook. If you have any questions, then ask sooner rather than later. We're always very happy to chat and answer any queries you have. And that seems to be it. Thank you everyone for joining us on this Monday evening.
Thank you.
And we will see you in June.